Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Monday, September 19th edition of the program. We have the continuing lib meltdown over Martha's Vineyard. They enriched our lives, but we got rid of them right away. Hold on a second. That doesn't seem to make much sense. And the immigration issue, illegal immigration, continuing to be a major problem for Democrats, Democrat candidates going into midterm election. Plus, more crime, disorder, anarchy, lawlessness in New York City and across the country. The Democrats' policies hitting home because I saw some craziness on the streets. We will certainly discuss that. And Joe Biden. Hey, Joe Biden. I got to start doing the show with big aviators on so I can just sit here and be like, I'm confused, but you can't see my eyes. No joke. Joe Biden does a sit down with 60 Minutes and it goes pretty much how you'd think. It's not good. We'll talk about all that coming up here in just a second. But, you know, the data breaches keep coming all over the place. You'll get these emails occasionally from companies. Oh, yeah, you know how we had all your stuff, but like now the bad guys do. Maybe your home address, your phone number, could even be your social security number, depends upon the breach. And, you know, you may not get that email either. And how do you know when the bad guys start using your stuff to take out credit cards in your name, ruin your credit, stuff like that? That's why you need Norton, my friends. Norton LifeLock. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft affect our lives. With Norton LifeLock, you can actually have some help here, some backup online, because your personal information is getting exposed so often. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you're probably not going to spot on your own. And if you do become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist at LifeLock will work to fix it. I worked with a LifeLock specialist, so I know. They're good at what they do. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code BUCK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go online to lifelock.com and use promo code BUCK. That's promo code B-U-C-K for 25% off. Now, It has been amazing to see the libs in meltdown status over the Martha's Vineyard situation. You got to understand, this is exposing their hypocrisy. But I always tell everybody, with libs, mockery upsets them much more than hypocrisy. You know, because they know they're hypocrites, but they like having the power to be hypocrites. So when we say, oh, but that's hypocritical, they go, yeah, exactly. What are you going to do about it? It's a little bit like telling a bully, hey, stop being a bully, that's mean. No, they know that. They do it because they can. Libs are hypocritical. They make one set of rules for you, one set of rules for them, because they can, or because they have the power to get away with it. And the media certainly isn't going to hold them to account. So that's why mockery is so much more fun. And so when the libs put out stories like they did at CNN, 48 hours, the migrants are here and they enriched our lives. They're serious. They're serious. They want to tell you that they had 50 migrants on an island with a population of, call it 15 or 20,000 year round. And they had to get them off that island right away. But they loved having them. Oh, it was great. We had a great time with them. Really? Oh, yeah. That's what they're telling you. We loved the migrants. But get them out of here as soon as possible. We need the military to make them leave. And Governor Ron DeSantis has, it's amazing to see how he's just laying into them on this. And it's a brilliant strategy that he's got here. Here's DeSantis telling them that, yeah, look, they're huge frauds. They're like, oh, we want all the illegals. We want to be sanctuary cities, unless it's going to be in like a beach paradise that the elite libs go to get away from the disorder, crime, and craziness in the cities that they help create. Here's DeSantis saying, they say they want everybody, but they apparently don't.
Instead of scrambling and worrying about a bunch of rich people and having 50, and oh, by the way, they already bust them out. They're gone. They said we want everyone. No one's illegal. And they're gone within 48 hours. And so why not actually look at what's going on? There were more Acela corporate journalists in Martha's Vineyard today than have ever gone down to the southern border to look what's going on. Why don't you go down there and look what some of those communities have to deal with every day?
Now, what's amazing is that there's a, if everything he says there is totally true, there's a belief among libs, well, but this is, or I should, maybe they just, they don't know, and they're just saying this because it's a talking point they're hearing of, well, we're not prepared for this the way that little border towns are. Well, we're not ready for the influx of, remember, 50 in Martha's Vineyard. I have seen more than 50 migrants cross at one part of the border myself several times over, right? 50 migrants is that. That's nothing. I mean, you're talking about 8,000 a day coming into the United States. 8,000 every day, every day. And the Biden administration doing nothing to stop this. The make-believe notion that these are asylum seekers. They're not asylum seekers. These are people who are skipping the immigration line, who are abusing the good faith of the American people, abusing our system to come into the country. And yet there's also this lack of understanding on the Democrat side about what's really going on at the border. Well, they don't care. I mean, Biden doesn't go. Kamala doesn't go. They don't want any optics of being down at the border. And so you have the mayor of D.C. Because remember, this migrant issue, it's also in New York, in D.C., in Chicago. The mayor of New York is now saying maybe we're going to house them on cruise ships. We should talk about that today. To this point, I always just want to ask as well, what's the plan here exactly? We're told that migrants aren't any problem for the economy. They don't cost anything when they come into the illegal migrants, or people that break our laws come here, and that right away they're making us richer and better and more diverse, and it's great. There's no downside to illegal immigration. This is the false narrative of the Democrats on all this stuff. Well, here is D.C.'s Mayor Muriel Bowser saying, we're not a border town like Texas, so we can't, or we're like they have in Texas, so we can't handle this.
We're not a border town. We don't have an infrastructure to handle this type of a level of immigration to our city. But we will create a new normal here in our infrastructure and have a humane welcome for people and an efficient service provision. But we don't have the ability. We're not Texas.
Well, what are they even talking about? I mean, I dig into this some more here. First of all, the idea that El Paso or McAllen, Texas, or Del Rio, you know, name one of these border towns in Texas. You know, look at what's going on here. Look at the Nogales sector in Arizona. I mean, look at some of these areas. They have some great resources in place to handle the influx of illegal migrants. These areas are overrun with lawlessness and criminality, and public resources are stretched beyond the breaking point already. She thinks that things are just easy down. I mean, it's just nonsense. But also, what are the resources we're really talking about here? Food and shelter? Because they've already been processed. The open borders policy of the Biden administration has let them into the country. So when they say we don't have the resources, what do you mean? I thought they're here to do the jobs that Americans won't do. Oh, you mean a lot of these are women with children who need immediate medical assistance, food, shelter, psychological assistance, English as a, you know, English language training because they don't speak any English. I mean, most of these migrants who are coming in, particularly from Central America, if you talk to Border Patrol, they'll tell you they don't speak any English or very, very little English, and they're not literate in any language, including their own language. So what exactly, which is obviously Spanish, but in the case of Honduran and some other of the Central American migrants, it's a version of Spanish that even some Spanish speakers can have difficulty understanding. So they're not literate in any language in many cases. They're coming here and they are immediately going to be wards of the state or in the charge of the state, which is why everyone's talking about the resources. But you see, this is against what they told us. They told us that this was all going to be fine. They told us that there's no downside, there's no drain on public resources, because they lied to you. That's the point. They're lying to you. Because now you see in New York, D.C., Chicago, they're screaming for more resources, more resources. What do you mean? What's the problem? I thought they're supposed to be, you know, adding to the economy right away, self-sufficient, more law-abiding, more hardworking, better than Americans. That is the Democrat narrative. And now, when people are aware of them showing up, of these illegal migrants showing up in these different cities, it's, we don't have the resources to deal with this. Why? You've got massive welfare states in these places, huh? Not massive enough, apparently. Not massive enough. It is truly remarkable. And what is the Biden White House doing about all this? This is the other part of this that's fascinating. First of all, Ron DeSantis slammed them for saying, or for immediately getting, got to get the cabinet together, for the 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard. For the 50 migrants that were dropped off there, that they moved right away. Here is Ron DeSantis pointing out that mobilizes the White House right away.
When I heard that the president is scrambling to get his cabinet together to try to address the fact that you have governors who are helping to relocate illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. Now, he didn't scramble to get his cabinet together when we had millions of people illegally pouring across the southern border. He didn't scramble to get his cabinet together when you had 53 migrants die in some trailer in Texas because they were neglected by the federal government. It's only when you have 50 illegal aliens end up in a very wealthy, rich sanctuary enclave that he decides to scramble on this.
It's totally true. We all know it's true. Pointed out, 50 migrants die in a trailer of heat and asphyxiation, a horrible death. The Biden White House scramble right away. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this? No. But when their donor class in Martha's Vineyard is upset because the illegal, remember, it's not just this first 50 illegals. They're concerned, well, what if there's more and more and more? What if it changes the island? Oh, wait, you mean you can change a place by bringing in people who don't share the language, don't share the culture, didn't come to the country illegally, don't have any skills they're being picked out for through the immigration process legally? You mean that there can be effects on a place from that? With a small island of 15,000, I guess you can see those effects pretty quickly. The people of Martha's Vineyard, obviously, the donor class, the multimillionaires that go to these beach houses, they're worried about what this means over the long term for their island, if this continued, right? So what's the policy? Well, the first policy is get them all off the island as fast as possible, which they obviously did. They enriched our lives for 44 hours. I'm a better person, the Vineyard residents, the Obama, Hillary, Biden donors of Martha's Vineyard. Or, oh, I'm a better person now because of the 44 hours that there were some 50 people on their island. None of them even really saw the migrants. Oh, I'm a better person now, though, because we as an island embraced them as we shoved them onto the military transports and made them leave right away. Seems kind of weird. They could have just said, hey, we're going to keep you here. I mean, we'll make room. We've got islanders. We'll take you into their homes. You know, do this with with study abroad programs and au pairs. Or they couldn't take the 50 into their homes. What's the big deal? It's only 50 people. We enriched our lives, they say. Yeah, sure. Sure, that's what they really think. But what is the plan for the Biden administration at the border in general? The answer is they don't have a plan other than the continuation of what we're seeing, which is lawlessness, chaos, and disorder. Clip 9.
Is there a sense that there is a strategy from the administration on this?
Not as of right now. It seems like they're trying to control it. But, you know, there also is no strategy or conversation on Capitol Hill. It might be a topic of conversation this week. However, it's right around the midterms. No one wants to talk about this except Republicans.
Nobody wants to talk about it except Republicans. Yeah, because we see what's going on here. And it's not just Republicans that take note of this. The American people overall, by huge majorities, do not want mass illegal immigration in this country. They do not want it. And independents and swing voters do not want it. The Democrat Party has embraced this. They just don't want to face the consequences of their decisions here. They want to keep doing it. They just don't want people to be upset about it. Let's talk here in a second about what I saw this morning here in New York City. It's a reminder of, oh gosh, what's going on with this place. But first, the conversation and debate over abortion in this nation is far from over. What we see in the way of actions by lawmakers in certain states has only made it easier and more convenient for expectant mothers to opt for abortions over life. One organization, however, has been preparing for this fight in our nation's history. It's the Preborn Pregnancy Clinics. They began their mission over 16 years ago. They offer support to women with unplanned pregnancies by offering them free ultrasounds. When an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on ultrasound, she sees a life created in God's image, and that's proven to be a strong and immediate connection. The majority of the time, she will choose life. By positioning their clinics in top abortion states where over 50% of abortions occur, Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives. They offer free ultrasounds, but it's entirely dependent upon you, members of the pro-life community. Your help is needed now more than ever. One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 helps to rescue five babies' lives. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the word baby. Or you can donate securely at preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/buck. Let's do this and help Preborn accomplish their mission in saving lives. You can help save lives today. Just go to preborn.com/buck and please donate. So I'm on the way to the gym this morning. Get a little coffee, go to the gym. And I see two guys in the street on the corner of my block where I live. And one of them has no shirt on and his pants are completely falling off his butt. I mean, his rear end is basically all exposed for public view. His pants are basically falling down. Throwing full garbage cans, like using them as weapons, you know, throwing them. One guy's throwing a garbage can at another. The other one tried to throw a garbage can back at him. A garbage can fight in broad daylight, just north of Times Square, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. A beautiful day in terms of weather in New York City. Trash everywhere. These guys then take swings at each other, and they're clearly vagrants, and they're you know, mentally disturbed. And people are just walking around, kind of like giving them a wide berth, walking around them. There are cops across the street doing nothing. They don't even walk over and say, hey, guys, you know, clean up the mess or stop hitting each other or whatever. Dude, they do nothing. And this is New York City now. This is every major city the Democrats run across the country. Because what happens if those cops come over
and they say, hey, stop that. And maybe one of these guys throws a trash can at them and they have to wrestle in the street. People take out their phones. They take video of it. Oh, it's so racist. Well, in this case, the two individuals involved were both black. So if a cop comes over and has to wrestle one of them to the ground, guess what? All of a sudden, you could have a narrative of it's racist cops being, you know, excessive force because the two guys, you know, they were throwing trash cans at each other, but that's not that big a deal. This is the mentality. Now, there's this group of Citizens for Sanity. They put up a billboard in New York that says, and they're being sarcastic, obviously, but it says, if you have a problem with being mugged, you are the problem. That's basically the Democrat ideology now. Well, why are you complaining so much about the thefts, about the assaults, about the menacing, about the petty larceny, about the sexual assaults, the shootings, the carjackings? You're complaining a lot about it. It seems a little racist to the left. Hold on a second. We're just complaining about crime. I don't care who's committing it. I just want the crime to stop. Whoever somebody is, regardless of their color, regardless of their ethnicity, their religion, whatever, you commit the crime, you do the time. We're supposed to all agree on this in society. All it's about is action and accountability and public safety. It's not about equity. It's not about, oh, we have to balance out the numbers here. But the Democrat mentality is, and their policies are. It's not just a mentality. Oh, that's not right. That's not right. The equity agenda means that people have to be able to get away with prison, with crime without prison sentences because of the disparate impact on male minority communities, predominantly black community and Hispanic communities in major cities as a result of the enforcement of the law. This is in the literature. This is the belief of the Soros-backed prosecutors of the criminal justice reform movements. It is unfair that we enforce the law and that there is a higher percentage by the numbers of black and Hispanic males who are going, you know, Rikers Island in New York City is 90% black and Hispanic. It's the main prison here where I live in New York. 90%. Okay, well, are we saying that the individuals that are there are innocent? Because that would be quite a, of course, they're not. In fact, quite rare for somebody to get a prison sentence for something that they did not do. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Oh, you're saying no, but it's rare. Overwhelmingly, I mean, I know people that work in district attorney's offices. I've worked for the U.S. attorney's offices. Overwhelmingly, especially with violent crime, they get the people that are doing these things. There was a guy just over the weekend who was swinging an axe around at a McDonald's here in New York City, swinging an axe around, threatening to mutilate people. Do you think he was held for a single day in prison? Nope. Let him out. How is that not? They say, oh, but if they determine he's a threat to the public, I think the lunatic trying to terrorize people, swinging an axe at their heads, threatening to murder them in public, in a crowded McDonald's. If he's not, and he smashed glass windows, he smashed tables. I mean, it was really, it's all on video. You can see it. If that guy isn't held as a threat to the public, who is going to be held? I'm just wondering. Equity agenda. Got to let people out of prison. Can't even hold them. Can't hold them accountable. They're going to have some wimp left-wing district, you know, assistant district attorney is going to stand before a judge and say, you know, this guy, you know, he didn't actually cut anyone's head off with the axe. So, you know, let's let him out. And we're going to be told to be shocked if this lunatic in 6 months or whenever does do something truly heinous. They're going to say, oh, but wasn't this the guy that was swinging the axe around, threatening to murder people for no reason? Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, equity agenda. Got to let him out. It's happening in cities all across the country. We all know it. You know it. I know it. Does Biden know it? Probably not. Because he's an idiot and not a very nice guy. He's a jerk. But here he is on 60 Minutes over the weekend telling people that the pandemic is over. Play clip one, please, sir.
Mr. President, first Detroit auto show in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape.
Pandemic's over. Joe Biden was wearing a mask 2 weeks ago in public outside by himself. Now he's saying the pandemic is over. Oh, you mean just in time for the election? We're just weeks away from people starting to early vote in some of these elections. And now he's saying the pandemic's over. They just fired 850 teachers from the New York City public school system for vaccine refusal. I would love to see somebody. I want any lib out there, please, open invitation, call in or tweet at me or whatever. Let's debate this. Explain to me, Fauci-worshipping lunatics, how firing somebody at this stage for refusing to get a vaccine that 100% does not stop the spread and is at best a temporary measure to limit the extreme end risks only for the high-risk population of getting COVID, at best. Explain how firing people for that, oh, it's about compliance. It's about do this or else. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why they put people through this nonsense still. It's completely insane. But then again, there's what else is Biden going to say? I'm terrible at my job and I'm an imbecile. I mean, here he is on the inflation issue specifically saying, you know, it's only gone up a little bit.
Mr. President, as you know, last Tuesday, the annual inflation rate came in at 8.3%. The stock market nosedived. People are shocked by their grocery bills. What can you do better and faster?
Well, first of all, let's put this in perspective. Inflation rate month to month was just up just an inch, hardly at all.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it is good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not, I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months, it hasn't spiked.
I mean, is he really that stupid? If the unemployment rate was 15% last month and we got news, which obviously it isn't, it's low now, which seems crazy. But if it were 15% last month and 15% this month and somebody said, see, it's not so bad. It's staying at 15%. Would an intelligent person brag about that? No, but Joe Biden does with inflation. Does he even know? This is who's in charge. This guy's a loser. I know he's a president. I know he won the election. He is a loser and a jerk. And he's got dementia. Yeah, that's who the Democrats put forward. Is he even going to run again? Oh, he's not actually 100% sure on that one. Do we have this one, too? He's not even sure. Is he going to run again? Oh, you know, his other stuff. He's got to focus. Not a joke. Blah, blah, blah.
Sir, are you committed to running again? Or are there certain conditions that have to be right?
Look, if I were to say to you, I'm running again, all of a sudden, a whole range of things come into play that I have requirements I have to change and move and do.
In terms of election laws.
In terms of election laws. And it's much too early to make that kind of decision.
You say that it's much too early to make that decision. I take it the decision has not been made in your own head.
Look, my intention, as I said to begin with, is that I would run again. But it's just an intention. But is it a firm decision that I run again? That remains to be seen.
Yeah. What remains to be seen is whether the Democrat handlers around him decide to tell old Joe it's time for a lot of nap time and sippy cups after the midterms, because he's not going to run again. We'll see. I think they will, because they're so shameless, but we'll see. The meaning that they'll actually run him again. More on this tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out. Shields high.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and build specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.